Chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6. Again, if you're not sure of where that's at, hopefully there's someone around you. It's in the Old Testament. It is one of the major prophets. So you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. If you don't have a Bible, hopefully there's one in front of you. There's a black Bible in some of the areas, what we call pew Bibles. So Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read one verse and then kind of look at some different things, and we'll eventually get to Daniel chapter 6. So Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and so this was a decree, in the context, King Darius signed a decree. "So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." And this is the phrase, "as he did aforetime." That means as his custom was, as he always did. He knew that there was a decree signed by the king. If you're not familiar with the story, King Darius was kind of conned by some of the guys underneath him. And they used King Darius's pride. And they said, "Hey, you don't want people praying to other gods. I mean, aren't you the God?" And we may not understand that because we grow up in America. Normally, we don't think of the president or some monarch as God. We would be like, "Yeah, that's silly." But in a lot of cultures, the reigning person, like for instance, if you go back to the book of Exodus and you see the pharaohs, the pharaoh was considered to be God. So when he said something, it was kind of a decree from God. And so for us, we'd say, "Oh, that's silly. Nobody would do that." But a lot of cultures, especially in the Old Testament time, and even there's some cultures now, that the person in charge, the person reigning, man, they were gods. And so these guys that were underneath King Darius used that idea and came to King Darius and said, "Hey, you don't think that there's anybody else that should be worshipped?" Well, of course, they're kind of petting his ego. And King Darius's ego got bigger and bigger. And so he signed a decree that nobody could pray to anybody else but King Darius. Now, Daniel was taken captive as a young man. You know, it's debated on how old Daniel was, but there was a few people. And if you look in Daniel chapter 1, well, we find that Daniel's lineage was princely, as in he had a princely heritage. He was in the line of a ruling class. And so when he was taken captive, he was brought in Daniel chapter 1. From his country, he was taken in, and the Babylonians had come and conquered their city, and especially where he lived, and they had grabbed him, and he was put into basically bondage or slavery, and he had to serve in bondage. So here is Daniel. But Daniel didn't serve anybody else. He served only the one true God, and that is Jehovah. And so here's Daniel serving Jehovah, and King Darius signs a decree and says, "You can't worship anybody else." And there was consequences. We read about these consequences. What were the consequences? Look at verse 13. "Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel," which is the children of the captivity of Judah. So that, you know, I wasn't lying when I said he was taken captive. And so he was taken captive, "regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So what does this mean? King Darius was upset that he got conned to sign a decree because he loved Daniel. Even though Daniel was a captive, and even though Daniel had been brought in as a captive from another country, Daniel had showed himself to be a man of character. He had shown himself to be a man of wisdom. And so then the king even was disappointed. So he waited. He was sore displeased. They assembled in verse 15. These men that had conned him assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes of the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." So they're calling out the king. They're calling him down on the carpet saying, "You know what? You can't be a liar. You said that nobody could worship any other god, and you can't back down. You sealed this document." So they're calling him down that you can't be a liar. So verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, now this is easy for the king to say, all right, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." I'm sure he said it with some pomp as he kicked him in the back end and tossed him into the lion's den. You know, it's easy to say, "Hey, you know what? It's like somebody else that's going through a hard time," and you're like, "Hey, you'll get through it. You'll get through that." But really, you're like, "Man, I'm glad I'm not going through that right then." Well, that's King Darius. Like, "You're God. Oh, he's tough. But, you know what? The lions are down there. I'm sure he'll deliver you. Certainly he will." So that's the context that we're coming to, and we find in verse 10 that Daniel knew that this decree was signed, and yet what did he do? He prayed anyways. Talking about prayers in the Bible, in the Old Testament specifically, and I pray that it's been a challenge to you like it has been to me. The Bible not only instructs us on prayer, but it gives us hundreds of examples in the Bible that we can study and implement some of those characteristics of prayer into our personal life. Knowing what and how to pray is important, so an example is good to have. There's a story of two atheists, and if you know anything about atheism, they don't believe in God, so they're really not going to pray unless they pray to themselves. But that's kind of a different religion. That's humanism. So there was two atheists, and they were flying in a single-engine plane together when it was struck by lightning. And they were faced with certain death, and the atheists grasped for hope, and all of a sudden they started believing in God. Their problem was that they didn't know how to reach out and call on God since they had never believed in him. Well, luckily, one of the guys spoke up and he told the other pilot, and he says, "Hey, I don't know exactly how this is going to work and how to pray, but I live next to a Catholic church, and my windows are always open, and so I hear them praying often, so let me just call out." And the guy was like, "Yeah, hurry up." And so the guy got on his knees and he started saying, "B5, N14, B1, D3, bingo." Now, knowing how to pray is very important. That's what I'm saying. Knowing what to say and how to say it is very important. So we're going to look at this prayer of Daniel here this morning, the prayers of Daniel. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Christ and what he means to us. And Lord, as we've been looking at the idea of prayers in the Bible, I pray that it can be beneficial to us even today. Help us, Lord, and do always that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go a little earlier to Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, and we'll get to specifically on the prayer. But we see three things in Daniel chapter 1. We see Daniel chapter 2 and then Daniel chapter 6. So we're going to look at the character of Daniel. Then you're going to see a couple of things in regards to Daniel. We see the courage, the companionship, the compassion of Daniel in chapter 2. And then we see the consistency. So first, the courage or the character of Daniel. Notice, and verse 1 and 2, he's taken away in Jehoiakim, in the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Notice what it says. Came Nebuchadnezzar. king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Notice in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So this is one thing right away that we see as we're beginning our study in this prayers of Daniel. I think some people get bent out of shape when bad things happen in their lives. Did you notice the phrase in verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim into his hand? As a believer, somebody that trusts in God, nothing happens by accident. Did you see this? Jehoiakim was given. Nebuchadnezzar could have said, well, I'm the great king. I am mighty. You know, I'm the guy. I'm the man. No, it says God did it. And so as we start out thinking about who we're praying to somebody that is God. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. This is who we get to come to. If I am saved, that's who I am believing in. He knows what's going on in my life. And so here is Daniel, and you would say, man, Daniel would have the reason to say, forget it, God. Something bad happened to me. I was taken captive. More than likely, his family was destroyed. He could have gotten bitter. He could have said, this isn't fair. This isn't right. But you know what Daniel learned? And I believe it's showing right in our passage that God is in control. That has to be underlying in a character of a believer. But you notice what it says in verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. That's why we believe that Daniel was in a kingly line or a princely line. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and all knowledge and understanding science, as such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Right away, you see something about Daniel's parents. Daniel's parents were very involved in the education of Daniel. They brought him up as a strong young man. And that's what I think our challenge this morning as we're beginning thinking about prayer. One of the things that as we look at the life of Daniel is that his parents had a lot that they put into Daniel, and that's why he could handle being taken into captive and succeeding. There are so many people, when a problem comes into their life or tragedy comes in, they fall apart. Why do they fall apart? Because the character that God has and he can put into us helps us to withstand some of the problems. I've told you often, there is nowhere in the Bible that it says that we aren't going to have problems. In our church, we have had problems. We have people sick. We have had people have cancer. We have had physical problems, financial problems, mental problems, all kinds of problems. But the difference for a Christian is that I can go to God and God gives me that character and he can stabilize me when I'm having problems. That's what you see. And for a parent here this morning, parents, you need to instill that into your young people. It's very important. Children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge, understanding science. Notice in verse 5, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And here are three Hebrew children, or four. We see Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they come, and look at verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. What is the character of Daniel? Why is that important in prayer? We're going to Daniel chapter 1 because this character is important. Because without this character, I don't think that we would have a chapter 2 or a chapter 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. We would not be reading about Daniel and saying, wow, how could he be so strong? How could he see these answers to prayer? How do I see the lion's mouths closed? You know how we see that done? Because way back in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart, and although he was taken from his family and there was a bad situation, he said, I am not going to let that come into my life and make me bitter and make me go against my God. I am not going to have that change my life. I am going to be better for this. And I'm going to purpose in my life that I am still going to be faithful to God. Do not let a bad situation come into your life and knock you out of your faith. We are all going to face hard times. Job faced a hard time. Read the whole book of Job. I'm reading through the book of Job right now in my personal devotions. And it amazes me all that happened to Job. Job had everything wiped out from him. His family, his wealth, his everything that he had was pulled away from him. And even his friends came and they sat around him and they hammered him and they peppered him and said, what's wrong with you? What have you done? Why is this bad happening to you? You know what? We need to look at the Bible and our faith needs to be strengthened. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So we see the character of Daniel. But then in Daniel chapter 2, this is the, now he's older. All right, he's older. It's the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. He dreamed dreams and then he calls for his seers, his soothsayers. Look at verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Look at verse 7. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof. Look at verse 8. The king said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because ye see this thing is gone from me. So this is the story here. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it seemed to trouble him. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes to his seers, his guys of wisdom, his soothsayers, and he tells them, hey, you know what? I had a dream. It's troubling me. I need to know the interpretation thereof. And they're like, all right, tell us the dream. And he goes, I can't remember it. And they're like, oh, you know what? Hey, you need to tell us the dream. He's like, you know what? You guys are stalling. That's what that verse, you're stolen, and you don't tell me, I'm going to kill you all. Now, that's what a king can do. Right? That's what a king can do. You know what? You don't tell me what I dreamed and what it means. You're like, wait a minute. Can't you just tell me what the dream was? Nope. And if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill you. Okay, so that is the situation. Look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. You're ridiculous, King Nebuchadnezzar. But you need to be careful saying that. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing at any magician or astrologer or a Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whom dwelling is not with flesh. So the decree went forth. Look at verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch the captain. And he answered in verse 15 and said, Arioch, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And so he tells Daniel, verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. He would show the king the interpretation. Look at verse 17. So we're talking about the prayers of Daniel. Here's a prayer. Then went Daniel to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. But notice the end of that verse. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know what you see in not just the character, you see compassion in this passage. You see courage too. Because Daniel steps up and I'm sure some of it might be that he didn't want to die. Okay? But he steps up and, you know what, he has compassion. Here are people that took him into bondage, and it seems like he almost cares a little bit. That is the mark of true Christianity. A mark of true Christianity is caring for somebody even when they despise you. That's what makes us different. There are folks in this world that they can say all kinds of things about Christianity, and you know what, and I'm sorry, there are some nutcases that are out there that claim Bible Christianity. There are. I think I've met a couple of them. They're really out there. But, you know, you come and you knock on someone's door and you try to invite them out to church. You try to get them to come and hear about Christ. You know, sometimes like, no! You know what? One time! One time 45 years ago! You know, and I feel bad for them, though. And that's what should happen to us as Christians. There should be something in our heart that breaks for them. Man, I've found Christ in our... Do people let you down? Yeah. Is everything always smooth? No. But man, without Christ, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do. Man, during a tough time, I can just call out to the Lord like Daniel here. And if somebody else is having a hard time, we have folks in our church that have gone through hard times. We have some even, we have some tomorrow that are going into surgeries. We have folks that go through hard times, but you know what I love is that anytime I can just call out to God and we can call out to our friends and say, hey, notice what he said. Get into the house and say, hey, call out to God together and see if God won't answer us. And then when God answers, it's not because we're so praiseworthy. It's not because we're so spiritual. It's because we have a great God. We have an almighty God. One man put it this way, oh, the boldness that we can have in prayer. There is a power that man can wield when mortal aid is vain. That eye, that arm, that love to reach, that listening ear to gain, that power is prayer, which soars on high through Jesus to the throne and moves the hand which moves the world to bring salvation down. The power that is available to us in prayer. And we can bind together as believers and go to God. We see the character, we see the courage and compassion. But then let's go to our text in chapter 6. And you see the consistency. The consistency. You know, back in 1898, and there I think was a movie written about this, or filmed. I guess that probably was written and then filmed. But in 1898, there was two lions that stalked a railroad construction crew in Uganda. They were believed, the two lions were believed to have killed 135 victims. Then in 1932, a pride of lions went on a killing spree that left 1,500 men, women, and children dead. Lions are dangerous animals. Very dangerous. All right, I don't think I would want to be tossed into a den of lions. Now here is King Darius, and I do not know why he had a pit of lions. This just doesn't seem like a normal thing. I don't know, maybe for some of you, you're like, oh yeah, my neighbor, all right, which is weird, all right, just so you know, very weird. All right, if my neighbor had some lions, I don't know, I know that it's probably illegal, but I might be sneaking over there to do something illegal, all right, because I would not want to be just walking along, thump, all right, and fall in, and they're crunching, munching me, all right? So lions are bad dudes. You don't want to mess around with them. They kill people, and then they will eat you. I just, doesn't seem friendly to me. So he kept a few of these guys, and again, I have no idea why King Darius kept a couple of lions as puppies or pets or whatever. But here he had these, and Daniel, though, is, to me, we see an incredible person in Daniel. And he shows us something very important. In the face of adversity, character is either forged, as one person put it, or foiled. Proverbs 24:10 says this, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Daniel epitomizes and challenges us. And here is Daniel, and he lives in a very dark time. He is taken captive. He is not living a very happy, happy life, although because of God blessing him, he's been lifted up. Look at verse 1 in our text. In Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, and over these presidents, of whom Daniel, notice what he was first. So what did Daniel do? Did he whine and complain about his situation? No, he took the situation and said, God must have meant this to be, and he's going to do the best that he can. And all of a sudden, he's next to the king, giving him advice and wisdom. That's taking a bad situation and finding God in it. And so anytime that, just so you know this, this story also teaches us, anytime that you're a Christian and you succeed, the world will hate you. They will hate you. All right, that is seen all the time. All you got to do is, and I've talked to you about this. To me, it's ridiculous the bad press that they give our vice president. All right, now I'm not here to get all into politics, but it's ridiculous. You know, the vice president said that he's careful when he's with other women. I applaud that. All right, I like moral people. And yet, that sounds creepy. Well, just so you know, I do the same thing. I'm not just going to go out with any other woman. One, my wife would find me somewhere and probably beat the snot out of me. All right? Okay. But guess what? Why do we discard that type of thing? Because as a Christian and he succeeded, people hate it. People hate when Christians succeed. And I don't understand it except that there's a devil. And the devil's real. And what that is doing is, what it does is it kind of lifts up Christianity. And man, that makes the devil mad. So here is Daniel, and he's lifted up, and guess what the guy's underneath him? That Daniel. And they get the little gossip chain going. And so they get the king, and we already talked about it, to make a decree. But I want to look specifically at verse 10 and notice we learn a couple things about prayer. We see the position of prayer. And what does we mean by that? The position of prayer is that he kneeled upon his knees. If you're going to have a good prayer life, you're going to be humble when you come to God. Humble. Now, I can boldly come before the throne of grace. But the reason that you're not praying much or you're not getting answers to prayer is because you come into God all cocky and arrogant. That is not, why does God need to listen to me? I come upon my knees. That's the idea. He's coming upon his knees. He's humble. And as Christians, we need to be that way. Humble. The position of prayer is humility. Notice the practice of prayer. It says, as he did aforetime. Or, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. All that you see here is the practice is persistency. Consistency. You see that it's over and over. You know why many sitting here, you don't have a right relationship with God is because God is basically a fire extinguisher for you or a parachute. What do I mean by that? You're only using it when the fire is blazing. Lord, I'm done. Put it back in its cabinet. Prayer is a relationship with God. It should be something, notice that the persistency, the consistency is that three times a day, he was praying before God. And as a family, let's go back to moms and dads. Do you think that maybe mom and dad, when they had Daniel in the house, that three times a day they were praying, that it was very common for them to get together and pray and have family time? We speak about this all the time. All right, my family knows this. 7 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, guess what? We're all gathered around and we read a little bit of scripture. We pray together. We read a little book. Guess what I want my children to know? That God is important in my life and in our family's life. And so that passed down with Daniel, I believe, with his family, they did it. And then he was taken captive. But it was established as a habit and a consistent, persistent habit in his life. So guess what, parents? You can help your kids to offset the devil's temptations. How can you do that? Consistent prayer. Get together and pray. Show them what prayer does and how important it is. You also see the posture of prayer. He gave thanks before his God. Thankfulness. Daniel praised God in the midst of it all. Now, wait a minute. Did you catch what he was doing? Giving thanks right before he's getting thrown into a lion's den. Some of us, our prayer is not much of a prayer. It's a complaint.
Hey, God, why are you doing this? Why don't I have my Maserati?
I keep on using that. All right? Maserati. All right? Because remember that pastor, the $53 million jet? Okay? And he presented to his congregation that they need to pray for him. All right. Guess what? That's what some people, it's never enough. But what you see with Daniel is he's thanking God. It says it. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. What? You're in bondage, Daniel. You can't find anything to give thanks for today? All right, I think all of us can. And everything, give thanks. I'm telling you, we have a couple of missionaries in China. Last November, I was in China. I went with one of them up to a section. You know, I came back. I remember praying the next day, Lord, sorry. Thank you for not calling me to China. I'm glad I'm in Chesterton. Now, if God called me there, I'd do it. But guess what? It's hard over there. Man, you're on pins and needles. They do not like Christianity. They hate God. They don't want anything to do with God. In fact, I just read an article on Friday. On Friday, there's a church over there. It's one of the biggest Christian churches. And the Chinese police stood outside of the church. And they weren't letting them go in. And they said, we're going to find a way to shut you down. I'm glad that I don't have policemen standing out here. In a couple weeks, I'm hoping to have a lot of them in here, but I'm hoping it's kind of friendly. I don't have to worry about that. You know, I can give thanks for that. Can you give thanks to God? But notice the pattern. The pattern of prayer is it was customary. Being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem as he did aforetime. You know what? What do we find with Daniel here? You find a lot about his prayer life. And then the prayer of Daniel, you find that it was the posture, you find his the position, you find the pattern, you find all kinds of things, the practice of it. Right in this text in verse 10, and you find out that it's good for us to have our windows open to God. That's what it's good to have. It is never good to have our windows closed to God. And it doesn't matter what the situation, and it doesn't matter what problem has come into your life. Do not close the door on God. Do not close the windows on God. Keep those windows open. Because God, if anybody else, or I guess I should say it, if If there is anybody that you can rely on, it's God. Keep that window open. Oh, man is going to let you down. Friends, they'll forsake you. Relatives, you're going to just have to grin and bear it sometime. But you know what, God? God's faithful. The book of Hebrews says he's the same yesterday and today and forever. I read an article. This was years ago. And maybe you don't agree with them or not, but I read an article years ago, and this is what they claimed. They claimed that Stonewall Jackson was a flawed Civil War general. And this is why. They said that Jackson's weakness as a general was his faith in Christ. They said that, and the same author, they said he didn't smoke, he didn't drink, he didn't play cards. And he refused to fight and march on Sundays because that was God's day. The article argued that a great general would never shy from a fight on Sundays. Any general worth his salt would have fought on whatever day they had to win. In that author's opinion, refusing to march on or fight on Sundays was a major drawback, and his faith was a drawback. Actually, as I read the article, I thought for a flawed general, certainly he scared the wits out of that Union Army. He just about won every fight he was in. And in one conflict, he took on three separate armies and beat them all. Three separate ones. I don't think his faith was a weakness. Now, my point is this morning, as we close. Because of your faith and because you pray, there are going to be some in this world that say you're weak. You have to call on God. But I ask you, think about it, and sometime in a nice way ask them, so who are they calling out to? Because they are calling out on somebody. So are they relying on themselves? Well, biblically, if I rely on my heart, what is it? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I know within myself there's no good thing. But I have a God that cares about me, and I can go to Him anytime. And when the lion's den is open and I'm faced with it, that is not the time to fold up the windows and do things my way. That's the time, if at all times, to be regular in my devotions. Why? Because that's when I need God more than ever. So have a consistent walk with the Lord. Pray like you're supposed to. And take the lesson from Daniel. And what does Daniel teach us? That when trouble comes, do what you did aforetime. And what is that? Get on your knees, pray to God, trust in Him. And guess what it says here? And let's go down. It says, he was sore displeased. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth in verse 17. Then verse 18, the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought for him, and his sleep went from him. Look at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Now he's questioning it. Remember before when he was tossing them in? He's like, hey, God can deliver you. Now it's a question. But look at, then said Daniel, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You know what? The king couldn't sleep. He was restless all night, but it doesn't seem like Daniel was restless. It seemed like there was peace. That's what happens when you have a prayer life with God. Peace in the lion's den. All of us are going to have tough times, and you're going to have trials. But you can have peace in the lion's den when you look at Daniel's life and you follow his character and his courage and his consistency. What you can have is lions' mouths closed. Those mouths are closed because guess what? The windows were left open. That's how the lions' mouths were closed. And I ask you this morning, what's your prayer life like then? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have a time of invitation.